Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
if I had $1 million.
Well, I'm up against Tyson Jackson. Come on, he's just about over the board. S&P futures up 11, Dow futures up 13, NASDAQ futures up 122. We got oil up another 48 cents. We have a big run up in Zoom we're going to talk about in a bit. So up to the moon, Alice, and all this stuff, Manny. They made 90 cents. The stock should go up $90 billion, I think.
That sounds good to me. I was watching the markets TV yesterday, and some stuff was up, some stuff was down.
Very much so, but the ones that people care about is Tesla is now worth more than like every other auto company in the world combined. And Apple just keeps going up, like went up like another before split 25 hours or something yesterday. I mean, it's just really either everything that's going to make it. And be strong in the new economy or whatever the, shall we say, the remainder of the economy. Brennan, how are you, bud?
I'm doing fine, Chief. How are you this morning?
We're doing fine. We didn't have any issues on the way in. You never know these days, you know.
Right about
I know. I thought maybe you were taking the long way in.
No, we haven't had the place blocked in a little while. But even though we have our reserve route, although I did mention it the one day, and the next day it was more crowded, so I blame myself, you know. Just saying.
They're closing another bridge. I think yesterday they started closing the bridge over the Kennedy and Adams Street, so that's going to be at least a 2-year project.
How do you get on one of these deals? I mean, by the time they're done, these infrastructure projects, I'm convinced that when they finally finished, the Inglewood flyover wasn't needed. All the 12 trains went elsewhere.
Yeah. The most mind-boggling, the two that are most mind-boggling is that whole intersection at Jane Byrne where the Eisenhower, the Kennedy, and the Dan Ryan meet. I mean, that's going to be forever.
It's another 5 years.
But also, when you think, I'll grant them that that's a very complicated thing and it was screwed up because of bad engineering when they went too close to a building and had a building fall down or almost fall down. They had to shore up. But I think about the pedestrian flyover by Ohio Street Beach. I mean, here's a stretch that goes from Ohio Street Beach over the Chicago River and comes back down on the north end of the river, which is probably 3/4 of a mile. And they started that in 2014, and it may be done by the end of this year. We're talking about a path that is maybe 10 to 15 feet wide and going 3/4 of a mile. And it's going to take them 5-6 years to do that.
Is it attached to the Outer Drive Bridge so it goes up?
Yes. Well, it's not attached to it, but it does have to go up and down because of the river traffic, yes. That was part of the problem. They also discovered quite a few problems with the bridge itself. It led to delays. They had funding delays. But, you know, when they plan this, don't they know these things in advance?
Brandon, I'm going to be very old school on this, and I'm going to say that if you drive by the Jane Byrne project, the reason why it's not doing so well is there's nobody friggin' working on it.
I've never seen people working on there. All the time.
You'll see 10, 20 people.
Brandon, I don't drive by a lot because I try to avoid that as much as possible, but I have yet to see people working over there.
They're working on like one piece a day, it seems. They claim they're doing some at night, but it clearly is a lifetime project for who's ever doing it. And of course, if we have 20 more infrastructure projects, if we ever get the money from God knows where we get it, it'll be the same three firms, the same people. They won't hire anybody. and they'll just be booked up to 2050 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be any kind of a project where you actually hire enough people. I can't get over when I was in. Well, of course, there was a lot of the same kind of crap that's going on now with the minority hiring, and I don't mean the minority shouldn't be hired. See, that's why I have such a jaundiced view of this whole thing, of just about everything. And it's getting worse as I get older. What can I tell you, Brennan? But my buddy and I used to go. This had to be, maybe you can remember the year. I was in college, so let's say 1973-ish. There was a big redo of the Ryan. It was in the express lanes or the local lanes or something. And the whole idea was they were going to work 24/7 and knock it off in a summer, basically. And they did. I mean, it was, if you went by there in the express lanes on a Sunday night, there's guys out there and they're pouring concrete. I mean, they weren't kidding. And so they were to hire, you know, whatever, 500,000-800,000 people or some huge number, because they had three shifts. And so we'd go to the hiring spot, and I had befriended this black guy, terrific guy, and we're sitting there BSing, and of course he was a family guy, he had a family, and I'm thinking, this guy deserves a job more than I do, right? I mean, mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But if they're going to hire a bunch of people, I would hope he would have gotten it, you know, before me, but I would have got something too. And mm-hmm. So he goes, I'm not going to get it either. I'm in the same boat you are. And I go, why is that? They're talking about minority hiring. He goes, they don't mean all minorities. They mean the ones that are in the coalition.
Yeah.
And I go, what is that? And he says, well, a bunch of aldermen, and he's the preachers, and a few of them got together, and they were the political move behind the minority hiring. But it wasn't like some decent black dude was going to walk up and get a job. mm-hmm. I mean, I think he had to pony up 10 or 15% of your pay you had to kick back into the church or some BS.
Yeah.
I mean, there's reasons why those guys drive Rolls Royces, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's for the greater glory of God.
Yeah. Or the aldermen. I mean, they all got their piece in the pie.
Yeah. Now, that was the Chicago way. I mean, I can share stories like that, too, where if you wanted a decent job with the city or you wanted a decent job with one of the contractors, there was a surcharge that you had to pay back to the business owner or to your political clout. We won't use some of the derogatory terms that are referred to, but I think you know what I mean.
Well, the way things are going with China, we probably could start using that again.
Probably. It's certainly going to be used in Washington.
When you look at all these things, you would have thought if things ever got bad, people would like at least let things go for a little while. But then it may have made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I think things are way worse in a lot of ways. I mean, I talk about Chicago's 2.1 billion in a hole. Plus the shooting that I thought was going to be the watershed, the restaurant shooting in broad daylight out in Mount Greenwood.
Yeah.
All of a sudden today, nobody cares about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised at that, but. You know, that looked like it might have been gang-related. It looked like the guy who was killed was definitely targeted. And the guys who jumped out of the car. And, you know, the shooters were in an Audi, so they jumped out of this white Audi, shot the guy, and then got back in. And you're right, but it was on the news for one night, one news cycle, and that's it. Nobody hears anything else about it.
But I still...
What else can you say about it?
Is there any follow-up as far as why he was targeted? Are there any leads for the guys that were in the car?
Matt, and let me answer. Mr. Weber usually gives me very intelligent questions, except for this one. Manny, if this would have happened in your hometown of Iowa, do you think it would be off the front page in 2 days?
It would have never been reported in the first place.
A broad daylight shooting in Iowa would not be reported?
Probably not.
Would that make the paper?
2 weeks ago, they had like the worst hurricane damage in the Midwest in the last like 30 years, and no one talked about it once. It probably wouldn't be reported at all.
I'm talking about in the Iowa paper. I think it would be in there.
Well, it'd be in there. It was in the Chicago paper too
for one day,
right? But are you going to talk about it every day for a month? I mean, maybe you should, but they've never done that.
I think somebody. Well, okay. In my opinion, it's reached the point where somebody. Some bleep at the Tribune or someplace needs a big editorial How does this happen? We have the license plate. We've got cameras out the ass we paid for. We're supporting Australia with the damn cameras, for God's sake, and Rahm's family. And we can't find these guys in a neighborhood where there's 50 cops for every 100 people in Mount Greenwood?
I don't disagree with you. I'm saying from a media perspective, there's a targeted gang shooting every weekend in Chicago. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Manny,
it just is.
If there's a targeted gang shooting at 2 in the morning in a park when nobody's supposed to be out, it's horrible, but I get it. You talk about that,
Chief,
for an hour.
There was a targeted gang shooting on Rush and Oak.
That's my point.
3 weeks ago.
That's my point.
That was 10 times worse.
That's right. That was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon
this was
on a weekday. It was worse than this.
This is 1:30. Do you know how many people were in that restaurant?
Do you know how many people were on Rush and Oak on a weekday afternoon?
And
it was one day. That was way worse than this. The second they stopped reporting on that, I knew nothing is going to change.
All right, I'll stop you right there. I won't stop you right there. Now,
this isn't the far south side. This is Rush and Oak.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if you've been watching this Hey Jackass like I do every week, the amount of shootings that are now becoming broad daylight in neighborhoods where a lot of other people can get hurt during the middle of the day. I mean, everybody has this psychological thing.
Chief, no one gives a rat's ass what happens on the south side. And it's terrible to say, no one cares. No one. And you and I care. Brendan cares. No one cares. And then when there was a shooting in broad daylight on a Thursday afternoon on Rush and Oak, in front of all the, you know, the Gucci stores, and no one cared, I knew no one's ever going to care ever about this.
What I'm trying to make the point here, and I'm not doing very well, obviously, is that even back in gangster days, when this stuff happened at night, somebody get bumped off, this had happened, that had happened, people somehow put up with it, okay? And I agree with you, the one on the north side is every bit as bad, except it was less people. And maybe me and...
No, it was more people.
No.
They had eight people shot?
Who's the rap? I'm talking about the rapper.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. There was like eight people shot and
two people
dead.
But it was very targeted. They didn't hit any of the...
Chief, only one person got killed in the brunch thing and only four people were shot. This was like eight people were shot. No, five if you count him, the person that got killed.
My point is that people somehow put up with it. They get immune to it. They did that in the 20s and 30s from my history. And all of a sudden, one day, something so egregious. Let's take the two together. The one on Russia.
Valentine's Day massacre that turned the tide in 1929.
And all of a sudden, the city said, enough. We can't deal with it. They let the feds in, and all of a sudden, Camp Capone was in jail with the Elliot Ness.
I thought the city was going to say enough when it happened on Russian Oak, the city's most prominent block, in the middle of the day on a weekday, when people are walking around everywhere and no one gave a rat's ass. So I certainly knew it. No one would care when it happens on the south side Morgan Park. No one's ever cared about Morgan Park.
Well, I guess
the interesting thing is that it did happen in Morgan Park, and Chief referred to it being in Beverly and Mount Greenwood.
Yeah, which it didn't happen in Beverly and Mount Greenwood.
Different.
That's why he cared, because he thought it happened in Beverly Mount Greenwood, which it didn't.
I know right where it is.
It happened on Morgan Park. No one's ever cared about Morgan Park.
Across 111th Street is Morgan Park.
No one's ever cared about Morgan Park. We should care about Morgan Park. You care about Morgan Park. Brendan and I care about Morgan Park. No one in the media or anyone else gives a rat's ass about Morgan Park. So I'm not surprised at all that no one cares.
Okay, well, let me...
Or even knows that it's Morgan Park because it's on the south side. You may have heard of Beverly. You may have heard of Mount Greenwood. But how many people have really heard about Morgan Park?
Chief's even calling it Mount Greenwood so people care. And it wasn't even in Mount Greenwood.
Actually, the first thing that came out of the Tribune, it said Mount Greenwood. Which it isn't.
It's not, no.
But what I'm trying to say here is whether you pick one or you pick them all or whether you add them together. You look at this is on a Sunday, right? Now, I'm thinking it's still dark at 5 because we're driving in at 6, Maddie. It's not just there. The list is getting 10:05 a.m., 1:50, 1:50, these are the ones on the south side, 3:10, 3:45, 4:45, 4:50, 7:25. Those are all broad daylight. I mean, it's no longer the black dudes hanging out in the park when they're not supposed to be there. I mean, I guess I'm reaching for the spot of when are we going to say we've had enough? And we can argue about which it should be, but somewhere along the line, we're there.
You know we're in agreement. But your question was, why is no one talking about it? It's because no one gives a rat's ass what happens in Morgan Park. I completely agree. I cared a long time ago, and I think you guys cared a long time ago, too. But that wasn't your question.
No, my question really was, everybody, no matter what color you are, white or black, I'm going to say, or Asian or whatever, one of the traditions you've had with the older people forever is when you go to church on Sunday, you go to every restaurant, you try and dodge the church crowd. Of course, nobody go to church because those places, that's their day. And that's when everybody's out with mom, if you possibly can be. And for somebody to intrude on that, I thought was pretty incredible, to be honest with you. That's just me being an old guy, because I took my mom out every Saturday or Sunday for 40 years until she died.
And sometimes you went to that place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it hits home pretty good. I mean,
that's why it's important to you.
Well, I guess. But I mean, Betty, even in our neighborhood, there's not the church crowd. You go about a Sunday at 10 o'clock, try and get in a restaurant, or 1 o'clock, right? Everybody's in there with their
mind. Right. Yeah.
So the idea of somebody coming in and shooting up a table and turning around and walking out and not getting caught, I mean, we're there. We're not talking about some park you and I never heard of, right?
I agree. But if you think that the media and people, politicians, are going to start caring about Morgan Park all of a sudden, you're crazy.
I think they've never
cared about Morgan Park.
I think they should care about the 84%, 84.5, in fact, that never even have an arrest.
If that happened at Halsted and Armitage, I think people would be in an uproar.
I'm not so
sure. And honestly, Halsted and Armitage might be next. Who knows?
What makes you think it hasn't happened there? We had a couple of robberies.
Although I go back to Maddie's point that when the guy was shot at Oak Street, that passed and not a big deal paid to it.
Because it was the same thing. It was a targeted gang shooting. A bunch of other innocent bystanders got shot. Who cares about them? And the guy that was supposed to get killed got killed, and everyone's like, well, what are you going to do? Same thing happened at Morgan Park at the brunch place. They're both horrific. I would love to see something happen, but people are like, oh, you know, it's a targeted gang shooting. What are you going to do?
Yeah, But, I mean, don't we at least question the money we spend on, like, cameras and stuff? We can't find anybody? I mean, don't we question anything?
That's what's really shocking is we can't find anybody with leads, and you would think that with facial recognition ID on some of the cameras and that it would be easy to track down the perpetrators.
Yeah, man, with all this money, I mean, let's just put it this way. To me, the attitude is that they talk about every single thing. It's one thing to go out and shoot somebody. It's quite another to shoot somebody and turn around and flip your finger at the cops and everybody else in the entire system. Come get me! I know you won't. That's what the St. Valentine's Day Massacre said to the city, and the city reacted. But I'm saying maybe the question should be, what is the one that everybody cares about? How's that, man? Could I do that instead?
Chief, we're in complete agreement. I don't know. I thought Russian Oak would open eyes, and apparently, if Russian Oak doesn't open eyes, I don't know what's going to open eyes. Shooting like out of the Hancock Building. I mean,
the six guys that they bonked the 85-year-old guy in the head and stole his car in Streeterville in the middle of the day. They didn't kill him, but I mean, you can't even drive around in Streeterville.
I don't think that was the middle of the day, but still,
it was.
I thought that was late at night, but either way, it doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right. But I guess what I'm trying to draw the connection to, since we are Stacks and Jacks, is how long can stuff like this go in the Palmer House yesterday? So I saw a blurb, Brandon, maybe you can explain about Palmer House is bailing on their mortgage or something? Or trying to?
Yeah, there's a foreclosure suit against the Palmer House, the owners of the Palmer House.
Okay, so, and we got a city that's $2 billion in a hole that they allege that they admit to, which probably means four, if you added the pensions in. I guess my question is, how far does this go before, you know, it affects Tesla or something, or Apple? I mean, this money can only, and we must have 30 people a day I listen to about all the different people that have to get bailed out by the federal government. And by my calculation, I'm going to say the federal government in 18 months' time is going to spend 5 years, 4 to 5 years of income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does anybody really think that there isn't a limit to that?
Well, I would think that, you know, when I saw the story about the Palmer House, given how low their occupancy rate is, and they're not the only hotel. I mean, a lot of hotels, even big-name hotels, fancy hotels on Wacker and downtown area, have closed completely. They've closed their doors completely during this time. I would not be surprised but seeing a complete reset of our economy, where there's a moratorium on mortgages or even forgiveness of mortgages, just to go back to ground zero as far as restarting the economy. I think that if the pandemic and the other crises we're facing right now continue for another year, 18 months, without some type of economic stimulus that really works, that there's going to have to be a reset, and you're going to have to look to people like the banks who hold a lot of the loans and say, we're going to start from ground zero. You know, we're going to cut everything in half, and everybody take a haircut to start over again.
How the hell would that? Who's the guy at the end of the bench?
Well, I think everybody has to be part of that. I mean, that anybody, all the landlords, all the banks, whoever's holding the mortgages, have to be willing to participate in that, and effectively saying all of your assets are cut in half, or whatever the percentage is.
Well, the government's trying to do that with their debt by doubling the money supply,
mm-hmm.
which is insane.
But that doesn't get to the problem of the guy who's the owner, whether it's a REIT or somebody else who owns the Palmer House and can't pay their debt. So either they go into foreclosure or they reset the mortgage and forgive half the mortgage amount without tax consequences. I mean, you know, because if you forgive a debt, you've got to pay taxes on that. That goes into your taxable income
on
the personal side.
You know this better than me. I don't think if you forget the interest part, that's a debt.
I think it is. If it's interest that has been accrued and unpaid,
in the case of the Palmer House,
they according to what I read, they're like 4 or 5 months in arrears on their mortgage payments. So the interest that is accrued over those 4 months is a debt right now. If that's forgiven, then that becomes taxable income to them. If you're looking forward and you reset, you renegotiate the deal, any interest that's, you reduce the interest from 5% to 2%, that 3% that's forgiven does not constitute forgiven debt because you've refinanced in a way that does not make that a debt. Anything that's already been accrued in arrears would be forgiven and would constitute income to the corporation.
We need a tax dude, but I believe, not that I ever doubt you on this stuff, but if somebody were to give me, you know, in my place, which, you know, they don't have to, thank God, say a mortgage holiday for 6 months, and just the $10 a month that comes off the principal doesn't come off, so it stays on the principal, and they give me an interest holiday for 6 months, I don't think that that's taxable.
You're deferring it, and because you're deferring it, that's different. If I own the property and you are renting from me, or you have a mortgage on it with me, and I say you don't have to pay your interest for another 6 months, that you're right. That does not constitute a debt yet. But if at the end of 6 months I say, pay me, and you say, go pound sand because I can't, and I said, okay, I will forgive that, now it becomes a debt that is taxable income to you. While it's deferred, it's not.
Sounds to me, Brennan, your job is, whatever your name is, you got to find us a tax. I got all kinds of tax issues that we need to talk about. I'd love to do it with you on, because I don't know the tax issue of somebody from New York who now is working from home in New Jersey. Does he still owe in New York?
I'm sorry, say that again.
If somebody used to go to work at, you know, Bear Stearns, the dear departed Bear Stearns, in New York, and all of a sudden he's working from home, can they pay him out of the Bear Stearns office if they still existed in Chicago, so he doesn't have to pay the New York debt anymore?
That's a very tricky question because of the New York tax laws, state tax laws, and city tax laws, because, for example, New York State and city both have income taxes.
Yeah, it's unfair.
You know, one of the firms that I was with had offices in New York, and we were responsible for New York state taxes and New York city taxes. Even though I didn't work out of the New York office as a partner here, I had to pay a percentage of the firm's income tax to both the city and state of New York.
Wow. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about, but we got a dash on, Brandon.
And professional ball players do the same thing. I mean, all the major league ball players, all the NBA players, they have a pro rata that they've got to pay to the various states where they play.
Yeah, but they do play there. You never went there, did you?
You never went where?
To New York.
I did occasionally, but 99.9% of the time I did not go to New York. But there were a couple of deals that I'd have, and there were times when I was there fairly often But even if I went there on business and did not go into my office, because the firm had an office, there was taxes occupancy taxes, sales taxes, et cetera, that were due because of having a presence in New York.
Why don't we tee this up next week? Because there's a lot here that a lot of crazy stuff. Thanks, buddy. SP Futures up 7, NASDAQ Futures up 100. We've got Zoom up $97. Of course, they made 90 cents a share. Why shouldn't they? We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, just by Weber on the board. SP Futures up 575, NASDAQ Futures up 92. All we do is seemingly go up these days. The Dow is down 8, however, even though got Apple up $2. Let's see, well, who's down here? I don't see anybody down, but we are down. The futures.
Somebody's got to be down.
Well, they might have. Sometimes the futures are different than the. They might have run up on the close last night, and now they're down, even though everything's unchanged. That can happen, Betty. DAX up, especially now that we've got the new players in the Dow. DAX up $79.6%. FTSE down 73. Now these guys were closed yesterday, so they're playing catch up. It's a full 1.2%. Kekaran up 17.3%. Asia, Nikkei down 1. Let's call that flat. Shanghai up 14. They were down yesterday. That's a 0.4. Hang Seng up 7. Call that flat. So not much going on around the world. Just a review of yesterday. Dow was down 223. It's a wild day. Dow was down 223. S&P was down 8 or 770. And the NASDAQ was up 79. Then after the close, Zoom came out. Made 90 cents instead of like 45. And the stock's up like $100. So we're trading 426. So let's see, 90 cents a quarter times 4 is 360. Goes into 426. That's kind of a PE, man, don't you think?
Like a good deal.
Yeah, sounds like a good deal. And Tesla has decided, since their stock is going straight up, stock is like quadrupled. When I'm done with this, I get some interesting option numbers for you. 10-year in U.S. 0.72. That's up two basis points. The Bund minus 0.39. And Japan positive 0.04. Oil is up again. Well, same spot as yesterday. 43.13, even though it's up 50 cents. Run up 60 cents, 45.88. Natural gas, 2.60. It's come back a little bit since they've got the wildfires and stuff under control in L.A., well, Northern California. And I think the heat subsided just a hair out there. RBOB up a penny to 123. Gold is up $17. 1996 as gold is threatening to bust through this 2000 again. Silver up another 57, 29.17 is the number on silver. That's okay for me. I should have been a little higher on the strike I picked, but that's okay. Manny, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Pretty quiet so far, Chief, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Looks like we just have one crash on the screen. That's out in the western suburbs. It's actually West Chicago. Joliet at Roosevelt Road, there's an accident. But everything else is nice and quiet if you're coming in on any of the area expressways coming into downtown. So enjoy a nice, quiet Tuesday morning commute. Weather today, clouds early, some rain later on, a high of just 74. So cool out there. Right now it's overcast and 70, going up to a rainy 74. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 102 today. Right now it's clear and 85. In sports, the White Sox are in first place by themselves for the first time all season. They took care of the Twins up in Minnesota 8-5. Sox now with a one-game lead over Cleveland in the AL Central. Cubs were off last night. They're at Pittsburgh tonight. Cubs are in first place by 3 games over the Cardinals. That's a 6:05 Chicago time first pitch in Pittsburgh. Diamondbacks were off last night as well. They're at the LA Dodgers tonight at 6:40 local time. Chief.
They had three horrendous errors last night too, and still came back. Joel, how are you, bud?
Good, Chief. I really don't know what you need me for. That was just a great rundown of what's going on this morning.
Well, we're just trying to get our hands around it, but the hands aren't big enough.
Where do you want to go? We do have to get a little bit of Derby talk in at the end.
The only thing I will mention is we have a client. Well, there used to be a guy. I don't know if he's still alive. I hope he is. A guy named Norman Winsky back in the 80s. And he actually wrote a book, I think, Joel, about trading with the stars. He was a horoscope guy, and that's how he did his trading.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't seen or heard from him. We have a client now who my brother says is a trades by the stars, and she went totally cash yesterday and says, you got to get out. No, that doesn't
What's
mean,
her name?
I could ask him, but...
No, because we had a guest on our show a couple years ago, and she was an astrologer.
Well, Bloomberg always had a astrologist, and she used to read people's palms at the Parthenon on Thursday night, and she worked for Bloomberg.
Will you send me that name if you come across?
Sure, I will do that.
Can you email that to me?
Yeah, see, it's the same lady.
Okay. All right. What do you want to talk? You want to talk Tesla? You want to talk about?
Well, the what do you think of the people that are going to buy the $5 billion worth of stock at today's Tesla price?
Full disclosure, I don't know why, but I own a little piece of Tesla. I guess I own five more pieces than I did before. I'm wanting to sell it, I don't know how many times. It's in my no-sell portfolio. I'm just astonished. I wouldn't buy it. I'm surprised that I have it. I want to sell it. I guess you could ride the wave until it goes into earnings, I guess. Is everyone driving a Tesla? I mean, my fundamentals on Tesla are so backwards. Even though I own the stock, I just don't see many Teslas on the road. I don't know about their technology. I don't know about people going to the moon. I don't know about Musk putting chips in people's heads. But, Chief, it doesn't matter. You know, price don't lie. It did the split. It's one of the most incredible rallies I've ever seen in the stock in the 30-plus years that I've been watching the markets.
It reminds me of Cisco and those things back in those days.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, one thing about the, you know, the rally now in the tech stocks, you know, they make money. You know, Microsoft makes money, Apple makes money, you know, Amazon, Google, Facebook. Tesla is making money. They've had four positive quarters in a row, so they do make money. It's just astonishing. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I own it, you know, in one portfolio, and I haven't lost my AWS shorting it in all my swing trading accounts. So that's, you know, sometimes you just gotta know when not to trade something.
Well, there's a disease, unfortunately, that I think you can't get.
Well, FOMO.
The COVID, but there's a disease you can't get when something like this happens and it goes beyond your wildest dreams. And you decide you would not buy it here, and you decide to get rid of it. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, because it looks to me like it's still going up for a while, but you have to realize that, I think you have to realize that no matter when you sell it properly, you're not going to get the top.
Oh, no.
And you might as well go out and buy yourself a nice cognac with all your money and sit there in the next 3 days when you stare at it like if you still had it and say how much money you wasted, what's up another $10. Just drink heavily. I mean, at some point, what I'm worried about in 2000 is what the pullback on these stocks. When I got to believe, well, Tesla's an auto company; it's probably not there. But this Zoom, they've got to be what, multiple times sales, right? And when that starts to happen,
Chief, it just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It just doesn't matter.
Well, until it does.
I know it's a poor ass excuse to use on national radio, but you know, using logic in this market and using PEs and, you know, things of that nature, they don't work. So I'm not going to continue to do something that doesn't work. As far
right.
as
I agree.
Stocks and my long-term portfolio, I don't look at them. Because if I look at them, I'm going to sell them. So I, you know, try and keep things different. But only got a minute left here. I just want to tell you guys, I may be sitting out the Kentucky Derby. I may not be making a wager at
Why?
All. Risk reward, Chief.
Right, well.
I mean, how are you going to beat Tis the Law? You know, I'm going to rack my brain, you know, trying to find a long shot. Maybe to come in second and still get an $8 perfecta or something like that.
Yeah.
The risk reward's not there, but I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. The Preakness.
When's
That's
that?
Philly. Have you seen this Philly, Gamine?
No.
She won the Traverse State going away. She's going to run into Kentucky Oats. It's Bob Baffert's horse. Baffert's going to be the spoiler. If anybody can beat Tis the Law, it's going to be this Philly. And you watch it. Gamine. G-A-M-I-N-E. Watching the Kentucky Oats. So that's, I'm just going to be on the sidelines. I can't bet a 1-9 shot. The
no.
reward ratio's not there. You know, and what are you going to do? 18 horses in the field? I mean, of course you can get beat, and I'm always one trying to pick long shots, but on this one, I haven't written my official article yet, but I could be on the sidelines, Chief.
Why are all 17 horses running against him? He's that good.
Second place.
Well, I guess. What the? Are you your guy? I mean, this whole idea of we only have 30 seconds, the Irish playing a full season in Michigan and Michigan State sitting around and watching. I can't fathom that, Joel. Can you?
Chief, we can talk about this another time. You know how I've always been active in, you know, suicide pools and, never straight out wagering. I don't feel like participating in anything. I think, how are you going to predict an NFL game when you don't know the roster until the morning of? It's all right. Very disappointing to me, and I'm focusing on other things this fall.
Good idea, man. Take care of yourself. Talk at you next week. SB Feeders up 6, Nancy Feeders up 97. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, North Face Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali. Just put Weber on the board. We're hunting down Mr. Kenny Pulcheri. SP Futures up 575. Nasdaq Futures up 95. Again, the only stocks you got to worry about are Tesla's up 1268 after the split. Apple's up another 245. So if you look at their numbers now, they'd be like 650. There's just kind of no end to this. And it does interesting question that if the criticism of the Fed vis-a-vis the Great Depression, there's probably only one positive thing that the Great Depression did is in 1929 before the crash. The country was about as, shall we say, the rich people owned even a bigger percentage of the economy than they do now, if that's even possible. But it probably was pretty close. The Depression was a massive equalizer, but you don't want to go through that just to be equalized. This time, the way that they're pouring money in, they're making incredible bazillionaires in where the money's flowing. It really is and I don't know at the end of the day whether it's going to be healthy or not. I mean, and I don't know what the limits are of all this stuff, because I don't see, with the corporations paying 7% of the, well, I'll give you the exact number here while we're doing this. Corporations paying, I have the national debt clock in front of my face here.
Not healthy.
No. Well, you know, I'm trying to get a feel, Matty, for what we're talking about in terms of how the numbers come down that everybody's expecting these people to bail everybody. I mean, the airlines want what? Another, how many billion? I mean, if they don't get it, they're probably going under. The state, what do you think Chicago's going to want? What do you think the state of Illinois is going to want? I mean, the total federal tax revenue is $2.7 trillion, all right? The income tax revenue is 1.5 payroll tax, which shall we say is going to other areas. Okay, so let's not count that. Income tax revenue is 1.49. So we basically, with the $6 or $7 trillion that we're spending this year at a deficit, we've basically pissed away 4 years worth of income tax revenue, and with no end in sight, and people clamoring for more. And if we don't figure out some way to get people back to work or doing something, this goes on another year, it could be another 9 or something. So you can't really have a decade's, well, you can, I guess, but the corporate tax revenue is only $173 billion. So it's roughly 7.5 to 8% of the income tax, not even counting the payroll tax. That's pretty low, especially when you're putting the money all back to these guys. I mean, which is essentially what they're doing. I don't know the solutions here, Matty, but I'm just looking at the numbers and saying there's problems here. I mean, and then everybody keeps looking into them. I mean, I don't know what you. I mean, the income tax revenue for the federal government is 1.5, like I said, 1.49. State tax revenue is 2.1 trillion, and local is 1.3. So you add those two together, they're 2.5 times. What the federal government gets in income tax revenue. So how exactly those numbers, they're going to bail everybody out, man. I don't know how that works, do you?
No, it's a good question.
I mean, somewhere along the line here, I think you need to, I mean, like Steve Leisman was talking this morning before we get on the air about how actually one of the numbers here on this page is, savings per family is up to $25,000, which when we had the problem in 2007, it was down to like 6. So it's come up, you know, somewhat dramatically. And a lot of it is people got shipped a lot of money, and some people put it in the bank, right? And I think credit card debt might have been down a little bit. So some people used it wisely, but it doesn't do you any good if it just pops up somewhere else. And when I say that, it was funny, I ruined her day, I think. But I was on with Joan Esposito, and she goes, well, I don't have any debt. I feel very lucky. And I said, well, Joan, it doesn't surprise me, and I'm sure you take care of your stuff well, and you're doing well, and that's great. I said, but don't think you have any debt. And she goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, your debt per taxpayer to the federal government is $214,000. And she goes, well, thanks for ruining my day. But, I mean, to not think, it's just... Where do you think? They send you a check for $1,200, you put it in the bank, and all of a sudden your savings goes up by $1,200 if it did, or you pay off your credit card and you're better off today. The money, it didn't just come out of thin air, man. It's not like anybody earned it. It goes right to this number, debt per taxpayer. Debt per citizen's $80,000. So it looks like there's, for every taxpayer, there's 2.5 people how can I say this properly? So if you have one, it goes into one to the other, every taxpayer is paying for 2.5 people, which is clearly not healthy, right?
No.
I mean, that number, you know, used to be less. We had if you look at the labor numbers, if you look back in the 70s, you'll see a pretty good percentage of people that are out of work, right? That's when you had essentially one-income families that... And what I'm going to say about this, I'm not making any sort of a value judgment whatsoever about two income versus, what I'm saying is the numbers are way different because, you know, and I'll be a modern person and say who's ever home wife or hubby, watching the kids and doing stuff. There are economic functions there that were never, quote, counted. So let's just say in the traditional family in our neighborhood, guy trundles off to work, lady watches the family. She doesn't just watch the family. Takes care of the house, goes to the store, takes care of the kids. I don't know, probably doesn't cut the lawn, probably is the oldest, I cut the lawn, but what I'm saying is there are all these functions that if people both work, now you have to have people employed to do a lot of that stuff. So when everybody goes to work, the numbers now, if you look at them, are roughly the same as they were back in the 50s and 60s, but it was a different world. Now the people that aren't working literally aren't working, because, I mean, anybody who thinks that a housewife or house husband that stays home all day isn't working with three or four kids has never done it. I mean, I've never done it, but I know my mom worked pretty hard, and I'm sure yours did too, Betty.
That's right.
And, so, I mean, there's functions there. So what I'm saying is be careful how you count this stuff. And when you, if you end up with, I won't say when, if you end up with Tesla going out at the tippy top and selling $5 billion worth of stuff, and all of a sudden, shall we say, things reprice, and that $5 billion is worth two, I mean, that's a problem, especially when you have a $3,000 limit on how much you can take from your taxes. But I think we need to get our buddy, what's his name, loose friend, Robert Rayola.
Robert Rayola, we should have him on. He's due.
Yeah, because I really don't know how this is working.
And he's
with
a listener of the show.
Yeah, I don't. This whole thing in New York, I got to believe that New York, since they've been pretty successful with stealing money from other people, right? I think all that's gone. I don't. What kind of shape are those guys in? It has to be like horrible.
Good question.
And
John Flanagan on the show yesterday started, we didn't get to it, but he started to bring up how New York is in a lot worse shape than Chicago after COVID. And I don't know if that's true or not. I'd have to read up what he was reading about, and we should ask him about that next time he's on. But they're not doing so hot.
No, I mean, what do you suppose the tab is for the subway system there that's nobody's on?
That's what I mean. I mean, you have an empty subway system. You have an empty Manhattan. And crime's starting to bubble up, and just like here, and it's not good. It's not good.
Do you see anybody on the horizon, without coming across any kind of a political statement, do you see anybody on the horizon that can fix this?
Are you talking about a politician?
Yeah.
No. God, no.
Well, that's bad. I'm asking you because...
I don't, and I could be wrong on this. I'm sure there's some great mayors out there and local, you know, city council people and whatever, but I mean, I don't see anybody in a position of power that I've seen, certainly not on the right, and honestly, certainly not on the left either. Like, it's bad. It's really bad. I was talking about this last night with people that I'm friends with that are very smart, you know, very well educated.
This conversation wasn't the Tripoli, was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Good jobs. They're doing fine. They're working from home. Well, one guy is a lawyer. He still goes in the office, he said, like 2 or 3 days a week, and then he works from home 2 days a week.
Is the courts totally shut down except for, like, bond court and stuff?
Basically, yeah. But they're still doing, like, depositions. They're still doing stuff. It's just, but yeah, the courts are shut down. It's a weird world out there. A lot of people, like I said, a lot of people think that this is the COVID's a bubonic plague and we're not going to reopen for another 12 months from now. And that's what I was listening to last night, not comfortable doing anything. Meanwhile, they're at a bar.
Yeah.
The wives are never going back to work and blah, blah, blah. They have kids and, that's one thing. And then the other side, I think it's a little crazy too, where, you know, open up, who cares if we get it, blah, blah, blah. It's not a big deal. Yeah, people are dying, but they had other conditions too, so who cares? It doesn't count. All this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I don't really side with that either. It's crazy. Like, it's very lonely just trying to read everything and be logical in the middle. It's very lonely.
Well, it absolutely is. And I don't, I mean, there's, if you look at any of the numbers, there's 40 to 50 million people that have already had it. Where they should have got it, shouldn't have got it. Where a guy next to them should have worn a mask.
Yeah, but that's still only, 10% of the population. I mean,
It's about 20.
Well, no, there's 330 some odd million people. If you say there's 40 million people that got it, you're barely above 10% there. I mean, it's still a very small number.
But still, they don't need to not go to a ball game. They don't need to wear a mask because you're afraid. They need to be able to act normally at least. I mean, where we're going.
No, but Chief, of those 40 million people, 40 million people haven't tested positive. They don't know if they had it or not. Only 4-some million people have actually tested positive. So even though we both agree that there's probably 40 million people that had it, and maybe more, whether it's 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever, only 4 million people actually know that they had it. And that's a big difference.
No, there's people, those people.
No, that's a bit, that's a fact.
I would say.
somebody tested positive and know they had it.
Somebody tests positive for the antibodies, they don't know they had it.
What does that mean?
If they have the antibodies, they had it, right?
Right.
A lot of people. But
40 million people have not tested positive with the antibodies. We're going off the number that the CDC said. There's probably 10 times more people that had it than we've tested, and we agree with that. But if you're one of those people and you weren't tested, you don't know if you had it. So that argument's irrelevant.
But we know 5 to 10 people I know personally that have had it that are running around wearing masks. Just saying. I mean, we don't seem to be able to deal with any part of this. We have nobody that. I mean, there isn't a section here that we can deal with of any spot.
If they're wearing the mask, Chief, they're following the rules. There are rules in place. You can't go into stores without a mask on. They're just following the rules. They're not. It's not a protest. They're not idiots. They're just following the rules. I wear a mask too when I go into the store because I have to. They won't let me in the store
I don't. I do too because I don't
so
want to make you. I don't. My point is, there's going to come a spot here where you have to tell people to go back to work.
I agree.
And we're getting very close. Because guess what? An awful lot of people never stop working. The person who says, I can't go back to work, look around you. Look how many people are working. Everybody's serving your ass is working. They're not, what are they, Serbs? Just saying. SP Futures up 7.25. NASDAQ Futures up 98. I have a feeling that Jeff's going to have a lot to say about COVID. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alley, just from over on the board. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph with us as well. SP Futures up 7. NASDAQ Futures up 104. It has to be up 100 every day. We have to have Tesla up. We got to have Amazon up, and we Apple up. We have Apple up 295, which is really 15 pre-split. And we have Tesla up 12, which is 60 pre-split. Jeff, how are you? And I do mean, how are you? What are you? Did you come through your diseases, or what did you do?
Yeah, all good here. All good. How are you, Chief?
All right. Are you in a spot where you have antibodies? Can you give me some plasma or what?
That most likely is it. So, yeah, I did share that last time out, last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Actually, I shared that we had a daughter who went to University of Illinois. She was there on campus for 36 hours. Within that period of time, as provided for by the university, she had tested positive, because you have to have at least two tests every week at the university. There's free testing available every day. And that means after only 36 hours at school, we had to bring her back home. She went into full isolation. Family went into quarantine for 2 full weeks. On the day that she was tested positive, I shared a drink with her, had been in a car with her for 3 hours, and on a couch with her watching a movie. And the night before she left her home, our entire family was exposed to her, and although we all self-quarantined for 2 full weeks at the end of that period, we tested negative twice each across the board. So a really, hard to process some of that, considering that she tested positive twice and we were in high exposure with her, including sharing saliva even through a drink, and nothing. So we're through. Quarantine is over 2 weeks later, and I must have some of those antibodies.
Where's my plasma?
Stand in line.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, interesting. You should. If that's what you went through. My my significant other had this nasty thing in February, where she was down for 2-3 weeks. And Audrey is usually not, she's pretty perky with this stuff, and maybe it was closer to a month, Jeff. And I went to my chiropractor, the guy who was advertised on the show, Eric Miller, and I said, "What's the COVID like been out here?" And he says, "We had this thing that came through. Everybody in the office got it. Virtually all of our clients in February, and nobody knew what it was. It was not the flu from this year, because everybody tested negative for the flu." He said, "It's not COVID-19. He said, "But everybody who had whatever it was, not one of those persons has gotten the COVID."
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody seems to be able to figure out where this T-cell immunity came from.
That's right. Yeah, so, I think it just adds to, and it, obviously it's only one experience, and I don't suggest by any means it can be extrapolated to a larger population. It's clearly, serious and should be taken that way by anyone who becomes, infected or exposed. But I think what it in my mind, what it does is just lend contributing and continuing evidence to the notion that this is indeed a novel virus, and that, I've hit the wall now with the follow the science thing. The politicization of that phrase has just become comical when I hear anyone say, "Well, we're going to follow the scientists," because the scientists admittedly just don't know. They're learning. It's a novel virus. Nothing against science, but that's why it's called the novel coronavirus. And I think, our instance specifically, where, I was in close contact with a daughter and exposed in every possible way, who was positive on the same day. And
are you sure she had it?
Sure? Walk away unscathed. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous. It just means it's unpredictable, hard to put it in a box, and I think it should be part of a broader recognition that we all have.
How? Two things. Are you sure she had it?
Oh yeah, she tested positive on 2 occasions.
Okay, so
yes. And the second test being the better of the two, and so the opportunity for a false positive was completely diminished.
Was she ever sick?
No, but that's pretty common among young teenagers. I mean, for example, one of the ironies of this is, had she not been tested and not known she was positive, she would have been likely out and about, because she had no discernible symptoms And you know, that therein lies the dangers. You know, she was asymptomatic, but apparently you are, you know, contagious while you're asymptomatic.
There's somewhat of a debate on that. I can't get over it. Illinois' policy was, if somebody gets it, they call the parents, come get her. I can't believe that was the plan going in.
Well, that's a pretty good plan.
They have
free testing every day available to every student. You must get tested at least twice a week. And if you test positively, you got to leave in 2 hours. You've got to get off campus. So, you know, I don't know what more you could ask for a university. At the same time, if they continue to do that, they're going to create a pretty healthy little subset of students that are actually there.
Notre Dame, they had the infirmary and they had a big housing thing that they had not opened yet. If you test positive, they quarantined you there. They didn't send you home.
Well, that was an option. They put you in a hotel. That was an option,
okay.
But I didn't think, you know, this is my daughter's first year of college. It was her first 36 hours,
yeah.
And I think that would have been a little traumatic to,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
We brought her back home for that purpose.
All right, so just what... Are you going to go buy some Tesla stock up here today?
Sure, I like to pick the tops.
What makes you think it's a top? You know,
believe me, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't say that.
You know,
there's just a complete absurdity in the pricing of that security.
But
I'm certainly not going to take that on.
While you were home quarantining yourself, did you check the options prices like yesterday or the day before Friday?
No, that would be something my counterpart, Mike Hart, would be doing on a daily basis.
Well, what would you say if I told you that the stock was, well, not a stock, it'd be 2,500, but say it was 2,350 on Friday?
Yeah.
Which is pretty high. What do you suppose the January 300s, not 2,300s, the January 300 puts were trading?
Where?
350.
Yeah, Jesus.
Those $3.50, $2,000 under the.
How about price. It?
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Nice
so that's what people think the risk is on this thing,
mm-hmm.
And nobody's selling them. You could buy it. You could have. By the way, I'm not recommending this to anybody. You could have bought one of the 400s if you thought it was going to go down, but not one of the people. One of the,
not like 1,900 points.
Yeah. Well, you could have bought one of the 400 puts, sold two of the 300 puts for like $1.70 credit, and your break even on the thing is 200.
Wow.
I mean, this stuff, I mean, even when you look at these Apple running way up here, you look at some of the puts way out of the money, and people are, I'll see if I can kick this strike up here. They just got these new strikes, so I can't really mess with it, so I probably should talk more about it tomorrow. But some of these things, I mean, these puts that you sit there and go, God, why is somebody paying for that put that far out? People are paying for this stuff, Jeff. They're not. I mean, people must remember 2000 or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's. Yep. I mean, I don't even at that stock last night. Zoom. I mean, what? Things up $100.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's not like we're immune to what's going on around us. Social unrest. A possibility of an administration change coming up, or the likelihood, if you're looking at the polls and the prediction markets, and the market's not going to go unscathed from this. So I think people are preparing for the short side.
Well, you know, history is, I think, blinded some people. It's easy to be blinded when you weren't there, right? It's like you have the Civil War.
Stop right on that point, because that's an important point. You know, we have a, which is a great thing, you know, this Robin Hood generation of new investors, which is a wonderful thing. They've been enabled by technology and by mobile investing, and it's brought a lot of new investors into the market. And to your point that you just articulated, they don't have that experience. They don't have that history. So, you know, that's one of the things the market's going to have to deal with.
But, you know, if you ever watch, it's been on in ages, who's the guy who did the Civil War? I always forget the guy's name.
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. He did. Obviously, the Civil War was spectacular. Did he do the Black Sox scandal? He did something in baseball.
No, he did baseball, and he did the Civil War, and he did jazz, and
he You also did
Vietnam.
You did the crash of 29 as well.
Yeah.
Have you ever? That's been a long time ago. I don't see if that's because that's even like available anywhere, Matty. But
the crash of 29. I'll look.
But that would But he was reading people's letters, and that's what's so special about him. Where he gets those, I have no idea. But he reads letters. Of course, nobody writes letters anymore. But I guess he'd be reading emails today. He was reading letters of people, and there was this letter from a guy in like 1929. The market goes up every day, and people are piling in there. No difference in mentality between then and Robin Hood, none whatsoever. People don't change. In the letter to this guy, I remember it like it was yesterday. He said something about, "Dad, I'm so tired of seeing you break your back for this much money per day, when everybody else is just putting their money in the market and we make money every day, and nobody's working or nobody has to work. And I made more in the market last week than you made in the last year, and I can see you wearing down, you know, swinging the shovel or the pick, whatever the hell you're doing. And this is just, there's just no reason for you to not have your money working for you and having this thing going up all the time." And with the Fed pouring his money in here and people throwing their money into these stocks, and it's an absolute momentum play. And if you've never seen it go the other way, but I'll tell you what, I've seen it go the other way so many times, but I can't ever tell you what the catalyst was.
Yep.
I mean, I have no idea. Well, I guess I'll tell you what. That's wrong.
And by the way, Chief, before you say that, you can find the documentary that you referred to. It's called The American Experience, The Crash of 1929, and you can get it on Amazon or any number of places where you can buy documentaries.
Well, so you can just say, what do you buy, the CD? What is it?
Well, I assume you can buy a stream version, or you can actually buy a disc, like a DVD.
Okay. But it's pretty fascinating, and I think every single time, Jeff, even in 29, I'm not so sure, but 22, yes, certainly 2000, yes. I mean, when you ask yourself what caused, you know, what was the trigger, it always is the Fed putting money in and then trying to pull it out. Things move up faster than they're supposed to, and then when they turn around and pull it out. In fact, I read an article this weekend regarding five other times that the Fed has tried to lower their balance sheet, and every time it caused a stock market turnaround. Well, of course, because it's up because they put too much in. So when you pull it out, it's going to go the other way, right, Jeff? I mean, isn't that
sure?
Where's the? Yep. But how do you not ever turn that around? What do you do? It's like anything else, you know. It's like anything else in life. You pour too much soap on the rug, you got to rinse it off, right? I don't know the solution. I guess, do you?
No, and it's fair to guess. It's fair to say that you're not going to see that Fed reversal occur prior to the election, just because
right.
It would be, you know, so political if that were to occur. I think it's going to be other catalysts. You know, it's either it's going to be how the market perceives a Biden administration to be, or you know, increase in social unrest. There has to be something else, or of course, you know, COVID still the big wild card. You know, back on that, and I'm sure you spoke about it, you know, much this morning. So you're probably
actually we did not. I was sort of waiting for you.
One of the most interesting things of this past week, with respect to coronavirus, was the 6% notice that the CDC put out. And what I'm referring to is earlier last week, the CDC issued a report saying that 6% of the fatalities of the coronavirus in the U.S. were solely due to coronavirus. In 94% of the cases where people died with coronavirus, there were other contributing factors, comorbidities, obesity, etc. It was a big pronouncement by the CDC. It became used by, you know, some people, perhaps improperly told in a manner that Twitter even took it down, but it's still a fact that the CDC issued the other day. And I think it just kind of speaks to the general misinformation that people are having about the virus and understanding it. I think it explains why my daughter had zero symptoms, and why you see so very, very, very few fatalities among younger people, and that is indeed a fact, regardless of what, you know, some have tried to suggest. That doesn't mean that young people can't, you know, die of the virus, but incidences of that have been extraordinarily rare. Extraordinarily rare. But this 6% thing, and it's very searchable to anyone, go 6% CDC coronavirus, and you'll find a story that will really cause you to look at things a little bit differently. And that basically says, you know, and then if you start thinking that through a little bit more, that means that of those 94% of the fatalities reported where it was coronavirus coupled with another comorbidity or obesity or something else, diabetes, whatever it might be, that you would expect that in a significant amount of those cases, perhaps even the majority, that the other factor was the primary factor. So, you know, we all know if somebody dies of something in a nursing home that, you know, maybe even old age, and they happen to have COVID, it's still going to be reported as a COVID death. So I think, you know, there's going to come a time somewhere down the road where we're looking back at this data and understand how it was misinterpreted by so many people.
I think...
Hey, Jeff, why did so many publications take that story down? What happened there?
Well, you know, that's a whole other debate then. That gets into the whole thing about, you know, how, you know, Facebook and Twitter might be, you know, censoring information for, you know, for political purposes. I'm not going to go there, but, you know, that's certainly a good question to raise. But it was because they thought that that would be, you know, I can't speak for them. I guess the guess would be that people would be misusing that information or somehow taking it to consider the virus to be less serious than it is. For example, here, Matt, perfect example, my daughter sent me something saying, did you see the 6% thing? Only 6% of the people who died of coronavirus were actually died of coronavirus. And I'm like, no, you've just misinterpreted data. That's fake news. The interpretation that you came away with, and it was circulating among students that only 6% of the fatalities were really from coronavirus. So that misinterpretation, but to your point, and I don't know if that is your point, there's no reason to censor what is really critical information about a pandemic virus.
Well, but it's insane, and I bring it up because I saw that story as well, but it was from like a weird source, so I was fishy about it, right? So I Googled it and tried to do a little of more research on my own and found that none of the, what I would consider trustworthy major publications were talking much about it. It was a lot
That's
of...
That's right. Well, I think now you're getting into the politicization of the virus in general. But if you go to the CDC, you'll see this is directly from the CDC.
Right.
But it's not, it's
why
not at all.
This has been universally censored is something really to be angry about. But, it's, you know, we're all...
Jeff, I'm going to say
we're all pretty passive about what we accept to be, you know, our news sources.
But nothing pisses me off more than politicizing a health issue. Like, I really just want to know what the facts are.
Well, that number,
because I'm trying to live my life.
That number is total BS. That's why it was taken down. It's total BS.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean, what has happened? And Jeff, you've been on enough. We've been following this since February, for God's sake.
Sure.
The numbers. And all we've done is talked about, and you and I have gone over this many times, the way they went about taking their numbers, they said, okay, we're going to give you a bonus if somebody dies from COVID or something like that. So it came to the point where the numbers we were getting on the COVID desks that we were getting, that they're being put, were all screwed up because people had incentive.
From the beginning,
they were screwed up.
But are you saying they're being overestimated underestimated?
What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, you couldn't trust the COVID numbers because we were talking with Lou and I, God, 4 months ago about how there's been half as many heart attacks in New York this year or something crazy like that. So, I mean, obviously that's not true. So what they did is on top of this thing, they said, okay, there's this chart, and I was going through this last night. People, whoever these people are, they're like people in death pools or something. They will give you an expected death number every week, every month for everybody in the country. And they're pretty friggin' accurate, okay? So if you looked at this year at the expected death numbers, and over the top of that, you put the actual death numbers. Okay, and there's been a couple of spikes over the expected death number when COVID was real bad in March and again in May. Okay, when it started to spread out again in May to different areas. But if you look at the total number, only 6% more people have, quote, died than were expected to die anyway. It doesn't mean that if Jeff is 95 in a nursing home and he gets COVID and croaks tomorrow, the COVID caused you to croak tomorrow, right? But also, somewhere during that year or next year, you're going to croak anyway. So if you extend this logic out 10 years and people are 90, nobody died from anything. They're going to die anyway, right? So to interpret this as saying COVID only killed 6% of the people that were saying COVID killed is just as bad as looking at the total number and saying it wasn't inflated by the
Omicron. But that's not what it's saying. I mean, if you have a rational mind, you can read the data and understand, okay, of the 100% of those who died that had COVID, 6% only had COVID, 94% had COVID and something else.
But the something else,
that's just simply what it says.
Okay, but if the bubonic plague comes through and kills you, and you had high blood pressure, and you're fine the day before taking a pill, it doesn't mean. Well, you're right. It's a combination, but one is just as wrong as the
sure,
other.
I think it's still. Yeah. I'm not sure how that explains why. To Matt's question, why that data, that important release, would be censored.
I'm not so sure. You don't see people tweeting out that the first published number was wrong because you got a 20% bonus in Medicare if it was COVID.
And that pisses me off, too.
Yeah, that pissed me off, too. I guess my point is this is just one of another of long line of bad numbers is my point.
Yes.
So, I mean, because I, of course, got this in the club. There's three guys in there. It would, in a second, hey, Chief, you're saying only 6% of the people that died of COVID really died of COVID? I'm going, now, wait a minute.
No, exactly. Yeah, man, that's what my daughter tried to pass off of me.
But in fact, if you go to heyjackass.com, where they also have a part there on COVID, and they have a big box of high blood pressure, obesity, something else. I don't know what the other one is. Diabetes. How many people have one of the other, two of the other, three of the other? But you still, there's people that live with high blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes to be 90, for God's sake.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like,
yeah. Well, to make that data somewhat actionable, at least I would say that is every reason for universities and colleges and schools, particularly K through 8, my God, to continue to strive towards a plan that gets kids back to school.
Absolutely.
You know, it's obviously tough at the university level, and the problem is because they're just not smart. These kids who are being unleashed, you know, from their homes and quarantined for the last 4 or 5 months, and in some cases freshmen, have this new freedom that, you know, is causing them to, well, just be teenagers and go out and be with people and be in large crowds and be at parties. I mean, it's understandable. They just don't have the discipline to avoid that. And that's what's complicating things at the universities, is the large gathering. But, you know, I think you've read many places that University of Illinois has really got it together on testing and protocol. And I think these universities will figure it out if the teachers just let them, you know?
I think that, Jeff, that as soon as they get to that 65% number, where 45 to 50 are like you and have an immunity from someplace, once they get to 15-20% of the rest of the population has it, the numbers start turning down drastically, just like they did in New York, just like they did in Chicago, just like they did in Phoenix. That's everywhere. So just keep everybody there, take care of the people. But the idea that all of a sudden, I mean, we get so arrogant. I mean, I'm not accusing you of that. The idea now that every single time somebody gets the common cold, which is probably you can get that as easy as this thing, maybe. I don't know, but I'm not a doctor. But now every time somebody gets the common cold, it's because somebody else didn't behave themselves and somebody gave it to you. We can't live like that. People that are 14 or 16 with no, how old are they going to college? 17, 18, with no symptoms. I mean, come on. Nobody knows where they're getting it. Did you see, see what they're doing at University of Arizona? We'll talk about it after the break. It's not breakfast talk. Futures up 8, NASDAQ futures up 109. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief.
We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Weber on the board. Governor Jeff Joseph with us today. S&P futures up 850. NASDAQ futures up 115. It feels much more like a Tuesday to have Jeff back, isn't it?
What? Tuesdays are not the same without
him. No,
Jeff.
It is not the same without him. Dow futures down 24. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 43.3%.
There's something about logical people,
yes,
that look at things and don't automatically side with the right or the left that I really like.
But it's lonely. It's lonely there.
It's very lonely in the middle, man.
It sure is. FTSE down 79. Minus 1.3%. Now, careful with that one, though, because they were closed yesterday. CAC around up 1, call that flat. So the FTSE's kind of bouncing from the down. They were down yesterday over there. Asia, Nikkei down 1, that's flat. Shanghai up 14.4%. Hang Seng up 7, call that flat. Fans, back up to 0.71. We were 0.68 for a while. It's 2 basis points. One minus 0.40. Japan, positive 0.04. Oil, up 45 cents, but kind of at the same number they were yesterday, so they were down after we did the show. 43.06, ran up 58, 45.86, natural gas 260, it's down 2 cents. RBOB up a penny, 123. RBOB, however, was over 130 last week, so it's come back down. Gold up 16 bucks, 19.95. Silver up 44 cents, 29.04. Wow, on the silver. Copper up a penny, 307. I still never really got my copper spread. The ETFs in copper are so lousy, I refuse to buy something in there, which I should have bought something. Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash on the outbound Ike, Chief, just before North Avenue. out in the western suburbs. The crash has been moved to the right shoulder. It's involving a semi, so crews are on the scene, and it's causing a slowdown as you approach North Avenue. Old Post Office out to Wolf Road is up to 20 minutes and growing. Out to Route 390 is 34 minutes. So expect some delays on the outbound I-290 due to this crash involving a semi at North Avenue. No issues coming in on the Kennedy or Edens. Lakeshore Drive looks good in both directions. The Eisenhower inbound is fine. Stevenson's been quiet all morning. Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are looking good. Off the expressways, there's an issue out in Naperville. They're calling it police activity, and it has Winfield Road closed between Butterfield and Mack Road. So I'm not sure what happened there, but there's a closure on Winfield Road out in Naperville due to police activity. Also, the northern suburbs, Wilson Road at Nipissing Road, there is an accident. Weather today, lots of clouds, some rain later on. Not a great weather day, but mild temperatures, a high of just 74, so that's nice. Right now it's overcast and 70 degrees downtown with a chance of rain later on. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 102. Right now it's clear and 86. In sports, the White Sox are red hot. They're now in first place by themselves, one game up on Cleveland as they came from behind to beat Minnesota last night up in the Twin Cities, 8-5. Luis Robert, Chief, is quietly having an MVP-caliber season.
Yeah, that's really something.
As a rookie, I mean, talk about unbelievable. So enjoy the White Sox. They've been great. Cubs are in first place, too. They're sputtering of late, but they're still in first place, three games up on second place St. Louis. They were off yesterday. They're at Pittsburgh tonight. That's a 6:05 Chicago time first pitch. Diamondbacks are struggling. They were off yesterday. It won't get any easier tonight. They're at the L.A. Dodgers. That's a 6:40 Arizona time first pitch. Chief.
I shouldn't do this. I was going to, I'm going to say the one guy he reminds me of the most, I don't want to jinx him, is Roberto Clemente.
Wow.
Doesn't have quite the arm.
Doesn't have quite
bigger.
The arm, but he's a speedy center fielder that can go get him gap to gap, and those are nice guys to have. And great speed, great power, he kind of has it all.
I can't remember, Jeff, when Clemente played in that old Forbes Field, wasn't it like 440 to the left center or something? Well, the lines were 400, right?
Yeah, it was definitely 400.
Yeah, it was huge. And he played right field. I'm trying to remember who the hell was faster than him that played center. It had to be like Mort Greyhound or somebody, because I mean Dodger Stadium, they had Willie Davis out there forever. That's a big park, and he was like the fastest guy in baseball. But I mean, these places in those kind of parks always had some center field. I can't remember who the center fielder was.
So I just Googled Forbes Field dimensions, and get this. So it says the original dimensions at Forbes Field were 360 feet to left, which is deeper than Wrigley.
Yeah.
And Wrigley's 355, and that's the deepest on the line of anybody.
Yeah, they're the deepest in the majors.
376 to right, which is crazy, but get this. Guess what center field is?
It was like 500, I think.
462 feet to center field. Ooh,
but the gaps were 400, I think.
And the gaps were, they had to have been. Yeah. If it's, and I'm not seeing gaps here, I'll keep looking, but 360 down the line and left, 376 down the line and the right, the gaps had to have been at least 400, which is unprecedented today. I mean, you would never see that today. 462 to center. The Detroit ballpark, Comerica, I think is 424 to center, and it's by far the deepest in baseball, and the players are pissed about it. Like,
yeah.
Rizzo hit a ball 420 feet that was caught on the warning track, and it would have been, you know, it would have hit the scoreboard at Wrigley.
Weren't the Polo Grounds like 500 to center or something bizarre like that?
I can look. I don't know, but that's crazy.
Hey, Jeff, while I have you, since you're obviously you're a genius on the COVID situation now, but what is this, the internal, if I was going to, one of our listeners, or you or me, how do you trade the, what, I'll start from the beginning, what the hell's going on with this TikTok? I mean you know more about the Chinese market than anybody I know, so first we're forcing a sale, and Trump wants a piece of the sale. Now the Chinese say, well, you can buy the place, but you can't buy any of the recipes. What the hell's going on?
It's hard to say. You know, I mean, clearly there's never been any pushback on the notion that the Pentagon, you know, a couple months ago when the Pentagon required everybody in the Defense Department to remove TikTok from its phones, there was never any pushback as to whether that was, political in any way or had any business implications at all. It was strictly a security issue, and there's never been any pushback on that, because that was the first thing that I was interested in. What prompted this? Was this something motivated by the administration for political or negotiation or trade war or for any other reason? It was definitely a security issue, and the Pentagon's been pretty clear about that. In the same way, you know, Huawei and 5G has been a security issue that no one has really questioned. And then from that point, then the idea that, all right, well, this is still an important, viable business with a large audience. Either we're going to, eliminate it or move it into a place where the CCP doesn't have influence or access to that data. So it's a strange move, very aggressive move by the Trump administration to kind of force the sale. You know, obviously free market people and true market libertarians would find that pretty offensive. But at the same time, it's an interesting move, because with the privacy or security issue not being questioned anywhere as to what potential threat TikTok has, and it's just all about CCP's access to data from the app. I don't think it's been suggested anywhere, nor it's been documented that data is actively being mined or used right now. But there's no question that they have unfettered access to that data. So I guess it's simply about trying to take this very large and growing platform and make it less of a threat. So I understand the motivation. It's a little, well, it is contrary to what government should be doing and interfering with business, but of course when it becomes a security issue, that's where you can say it's not necessarily a free market issue, it's a security issue, and that's what government is supposed to do, is protect us. So I think I don't have the answer to the question you asked, so I filibustered in a different way, but I guess what I'm saying is I think it's a interesting story. It's admirable to some degree that the government is trying to find a solution to allow us to continue to embrace this platform, and I think the answer is still out there.
Well,
you know, Tom Friedman was on today, just on CNBC earlier this morning, just making comments, and he's not the likely guy to do it because he's been critical of the trade war, Trump's trade initiatives in general. But he said very clearly this morning that he gives the president credit for taking on China and bringing it to the forefront as a foreign policy issue, which has not previously been done by other administrations. So he was speaking pretty emphatically that he thinks that's been a net very good thing. Doesn't approve of the trade, the use of trade as a tool, but he thinks that on a net positive basis, the Trump administration has been in front of China and trying to bring, increase awareness to how they are definitely confronting us in a variety of different ways, and that it's time to take a more aggressive posture.
Jeff, we had a year ago, 8 months ago, I was reading, well, I dug into, somebody, one of the listeners probably sent it to me. It had to do with a political plan, and Trump was very concerned, obviously, about being reelected. And they found one of the Achilles heels of the Democrats that most people believe, because he's been, whether it's true or not, or whether he's just been talking about it and people believe the big lie, and I don't know which it is. The biggest Achilles heel the Democrats have among most people is that it's been driven into them so much that Democrats were too soft on China. But ever since then, every single thing that a Trump supporter says, they must all have gotten that memo by whoever wrote it, because every single person does nothing but drive on that. And I'm going to say from the day one, and I've been, started with Dr. J on the score years ago. I've been doing this now pushing 20 years, and every single time, this John and I way back in the day, and you and I and Lou and I, This China situation is one of the most difficult situations for any president or any administration to take on. And it's fraught with peril from every single side. The simple way of looking at it is Jeff Joseph walks in to see Matt Weber, president. He says, "Hey, these bleeps, I sold them, or the guy from Microsoft, they got 90 bazillion computers over there, and they got four copies of Windows 12, and they're all working. I guess they copied them. Screw these guys." And you're sitting there as president going, "Well, that's not good." And all of a sudden, Thomas walks in and says, "Wait a minute. I'm the head of Pepsi. All these people are drinking there's a billion and a half people over there drinking a Pepsi every day. Don't go after them. What's the matter with you?" So, I mean, it is so uneven. And now we have, and I criticize the president not for recognizing, he has a certain sixth sense about these things, over a period of time, what has happened and what they've stolen and how insidious they've been. But we're the ones that have done it. Are you willing to say to Bo? I mean, we didn't in 1938 tell Hitler he wasn't allowed to buy bullets. We told people you can't sell them to him.
So the normalization of relations with China that that Nixon probably opened the door to, and then Clinton expanded on tremendously. That is the source of the problem. The Obama administration looked the other way during this period, and there's no question that that we created the problem with China. That's true. Not to mention their aggressive posture against the U.S. The retribution for this century is part of their political ideology. But we allowed it to happen. It's interesting what you speak to. Also, this kind of left versus right, Democrat versus Republican thing on China. It's so apparent. I see it everywhere. This kind of Russia versus China. What is the greatest threat? That is distinctly answered along party lines.
Absolutely.
We're doing a survey right now for Luckbox Magazine for the next issue, which is a political and election themed issue. And we did a large survey of readership, which we've been getting a big response to. And there is no question that your view of Russia or China as a threat relative to the other is completely dictated by whether you call yourself lean right or lean left.
Without a doubt.
And it's just the oddest thing because, just the reality, Russia is just, yes, of course they've been involved in manipulating the last election and 2 decades of elections prior to that. There's nothing new there. But Russia is nothing compared to China in terms of its aggression toward the U.S. and its threat to the U.S. from a economic standpoint. There's just no comparison. Not to mention its abuse of the Muslim Uyghur population of 3 million that are basically incarcerated in a manner that's reminiscent of the Holocaust. I mean, they're on so many levels. China is such a blatant threat and confronting human rights and civil rights and privacy rights and everything else, and it's somehow a political issue that it's beyond me that people allow that.
I guess it's radio. I get to disagree, Jeff. I mean, I think they're just different. I mean, we have a much different relationship with the countries in Europe and other places than we do with China. Thank God, but. We don't really have. China is expanding themselves, shall we say, militarily and everything, right? South China Sea, you name it. They're building, rockets. They're building stuff that that is intended to challenge us, really, right? So, but that's an issue. But we don't have if China rolls into North Vietnam or rolls into Thailand or someplace or grabs even more of the South China Sea. It's going to be a big problem, but it's not the same as Russia rolling into some place where we specifically have an agreement that we have to come fight for you. So, and Russia is very capable of screwing around in the Ukraine and other places to where if our guys in Europe go to war, I mean, we could be at war there. But so I'm saying it's just different. It's not like
but we are at war, and speaking of war, so. The Art of War by Sun Tzu, the military treatise that that you know originated out of China that's so often referred to. The whole premise of the art of war is that major battles are not won on the battlefield.
Oh yeah, we're not
and that and that that, it, that so you know China of course is at war with us. So.
But we have the difference. Let's put this. I mean, I don't know how.
And it's a much more clear and present danger than.
But
than,
we're not going to. One of us is
because they're bringing it to American shores. Yes, Russia has geopolitical ambition, but Russia's not attacking the U.S.
Right.
You know, attacking our economy through jobs and through tariffs, et cetera. You know, and of course we allowed that to happen. But yes, it's different. But there's no relativism here. The Chinese threat is so much greater than the Russian threat.
It is. Well, let's put it this way. If the threat of us having to send troops tomorrow is greater with Russia. But having said that...
Yeah, the economic...
Let me shove you off.
The military conflict for the next two or three decades is nothing like what it's been in the last two or three decades. I mean... What does that mean? 2,000 troops and everything else is drone strikes?
I think if we got a land war with Russia, it'd be a big... Let me shove you off this topic just a hair. But how do we fight, if we fight China, or we are fighting China, according to Trump, how do we do it? I mean, one of the things, Jeff, we'll go back to the COVID story. I think if there are people who deserve the fifth ring in hell, if there is one, or a new ring in hell, are the businessmen that flew their people back and forth knowing there was a problem over there. I think that happened in Italy. I think it happened here. How do we not have... I mean, we must realize that our top five or six companies are all over this China thing, and they got their head right up the ass of that country, that government.
Sure.
Now, that's a problem to me. And we're going to have...
Sure. We're gonna starting have a, with Nike and
yeah,
Apple.
We're gonna have a guest this week who's the U.S. What did Lika say he was, Matt? He's the head of the... What's the Muslim group in China?
Uyghurs.
Uyghurs. He's gonna come on the show, Jeff. If you want to be on when he's here, please let me know. If you know more about this than I do. I'm gonna say that if we were to put it on a board, we have people in this country strapping on their Nikes, grabbing their Apple that are using slave labor, I think. I've heard, I don't know, I can't prove it, and going here and worrying about the statue of Christopher Columbus. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, the China situation, we've offloaded our slave labor, our child labor, and our pollution, right? And you try and buy a bike tube now. Try and buy a part for a bike. Try and buy anything. We have a president who's opened this up. Okay, and I'm not saying he's wrong to do it. I don't think he has a clue of the interrelationships there. I mean, look what's happened to prescription drug prices since he's done this. I mean, I don't think we have any kind of a clue collectively of how dependent we become on these people. And I think it sucks, be honest with you. I can't stand it. But how am I going to fix it? How are we going to fix it? They're in too tight. They're like a dog. They're in like a tick on a dog. I mean, the rare earth stuff, we have a mine here. And they don't process it here. We process it over there because they don't care about pollution and we do. Guess what? It's the same atmosphere, right? It's not in my backyard.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know what the solution. I mean, you're the guy who knows way more about China than I'll ever dream to know. I don't know how do you fight this when they're in on you. But now if they say, okay, go ahead, buy Tic Tac, but you can't have any of the soup. What does that give you? What does Walmart want with that? By the way, whose information are they thinking that they're stealing? If they're on, I don't have any of these apps. So if I'm sitting there with my iPhone, I'm taking a shot at Apple here, and I've got this Tic Tac on there. Are they worried about them stealing the information I give TikTok, or are they worried about TikTok stealing the rest of the information that's on my iPhone?
The latter is one of the big concerns, but it's not just that; it's just general data usage, you know, GPS data. It's the same. Remember, it's the same matrix of data that is used throughout China to spy on its own citizens. Although that's been commercialized, that's not secret. Every Chinese citizen knows that they're being spied on. You know, they know there's a social scoring system, and It's done through apps. It's done through cameras. And this is not a secret. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is all very, very well documented. So TikTok, you know, and any app that has the ability to have, you know, GPS data and also give you, you know, some demographic information as well, runs that same risk. So it's just another data source.
So app, for the Luddite, please. You or Maddie. So if there's a Jeff and Maddie app on my phone, and I'm foolish enough to put it on there, because I'm sure you guys got a great app, I'm smart enough to put it on there, your app gets access to all the other information in the phone. Is that what you're telling me?
It can, yeah. Of course,
really?
It can be a backdoor.
I did not know that. So in other words,
you know, when you hit those acknowledgments that say, allow this app to access my contact list, allow this app to access my camera, allow this app to, you know, almost every app that you download, well, not almost every app, but many apps that you download require an integration through the phone software with the phone itself and other information stored on the phone. And you many times are allowing that by virtue of downloading the app. It's part of the term of engagement. And you've seen it all the time, right?
Actually, no.
You download an app, and then it says, well, you know, do this to enable the phone or the contact list, et cetera.
Jeff, you know how many apps I have on my phone?
Well, lots, but I've managed to go Google-free in the last... Since we did an extensive privacy issue in Luckbox Magazine,
Jeff, this is me you're talking to.
Living in the DuckDuckGo world.
I'll give you another chance at that answer. This is
for
me
about 7 months now.
This is me you're talking about. How many apps do you think I have?
I have a lot of apps.
I have one.
At least 40 or 50.
I have one.
What app? 60. What app do you have, Chief?
I have the one you told me to get.
Which what?
One?
Manny even forgets when I take his advice. He told me to get the Chicago parking app because I don't want to be putting my credit card in the machines on the street. So I did.
That is a good one. Chicago parking.
That's it?
That's it. That's the only app I got.
He doesn't even have the Stocks and Jocks app to stream the show, for God's sake.
I listen to it.
Yeah, you should download that at least.
I got the Stocks and Jocks, of course.
That's the only app I have. I did it on Maddie's advice. So he thinks I never take advice. I always do.
Well. Hey, I got a plug for you. Can I plug something?
Sure.
In our podcast, the Political Trade, which is basically about the political prediction markets and, you know, how to trade those markets, which are legal markets. That's what the podcast is focused on, and we've, you know, been fortunate enough to have some really interesting guests like Scaramucci and Carville and Dylan Radigan, and most recently, we just finished a two-part interview series with former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
Wow.
So that is currently the Political Trade on that podcast. You can hear two consecutive exclusive interviews with former governor. The first one was really all about his prosecution, his sentencing, his 8 years in prison, and then the effort to have him released and what he knew about it, and then, you know, a little bit about life since his release in February, his clemency from the president. And then the second episode, we actually had to make a number of political forecasts. So it's interesting and worth listening to. That's the Political Trade.
Now he was given commuted sentence, so he's still a felon. He can't run, right?
That is correct. And part of political prediction markets have markets on clemency and pardons. It is a pound the table bet that he will be pardoned, you know, sometime after the election. There's very little question in my mind about that. He received the clemency, but he will be pardoned as well.
Do you have to?
And in the same way that Manafort, and that market I think is trading at 54 cents, will Trump pardon Manafort? You know, it's a binary option. 54 would pay 100. He'll receive a pardon as well, or at least clemency at the very least.
Do you have to admit
commutation as opposed to a full pardon? But you would expect that the governor will be pardoned, you know, sometime after the election. Think of Bill Clinton on his last day of office. Of course, he pardoned 162 people, including, his brother and Mark Rich, the billionaire financier who contributed to his campaign.
Another fine human being.
Pardons, pardons occur in the last
Jeff,
day of office.
Jeff, we got to go, but SP Futures up 3. Good stuff. SP Futures up 350. Let me know if you want to be on when this guy comes on. It's Muslim dude.
Yep, let me know. Right. Sounds good.
SP Futures up 3. NASDAQ Futures up 73. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.